Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, don't be a bug, a fool. Learn all that you can from the show that's really cool. They'll teach you survival and go through what is the flashbang game, political tangents. Thursday night, you know where to go. Tune in to Apocalypse. Apocalypse Nana Show.
Okay. Welcome back. We are here. Last week we were not because of the movie Independence Day, which we will get to briefly. I am your host, Jacqueline Druga, and with me is Collective Kate Rushi.
Great to be here tonight, folks.
Not here is R.W. Klinger, but substituting is my grandson, Boo.
Who just cut up a rug to your new theme
Hello.
Song.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm baking because it's
you have to talk Hello. Into the microphone, dude.
Hello.
You have to talk into
Hello.
Okay. another terror attack. Seems like every week we have the show, we have another terror attack. This one in Istanbul. Is that how you say it?
Istanbul.
Yeah. Can you say that, Boo? Istanbul.
Istanbul.
So I'm a little upset. Taylor Swift is in the middle of a whirlwind romance with Thomas Hiddleston.
But the guy who plays Loki?
Yes. Yes. With Loki. And I can't get past that it's he's not Loki, he's Tom Hiddleston. Okay, but to me, he's Loki. So I'm looking at it as Taylor Swift, like it's the ultimate freaking evil team. She's in a relationship with Loki. I love him, okay? Mm-hmm. How could he do that? I mean, like, it's almost like I can't separate myself from fiction here. I just can't. I mean,
how long ago did she break up with Calvin Harris?
2 weeks.
She's already... Yeah, geez.
2 weeks. Wait, I'm sorry, 3 weeks. She's been with Tom 2 weeks. Yeah, she doesn't know how to be single. She was single for about 9 months before Calvin. But I can't separate myself from, you know, him from Loki. I mean, so I just keep thinking, you know, like Loki got in a relationship with somebody really bad in one of the Thor movies,
mm-hmm.
they'd be a force like to reckon with. Like, who's the evil female
character? Well, I think, what's her name? Scarlet Witch. Isn't she sort of a villain in some versions?
She is. So let's imagine her bad and her dating Loki. And you know what's going to happen there. There's going to be destruction throughout the world with them two together. And mm-hmm. it's the same thing with these. He's a little old for her as well. Well, no, you're not. He's like 11 years older. But
yeah, I mean, she... That's not unusual for her.
No.
I mean, she usually... And, how old is Calvin Harris? Was he about her age?
He was about her age, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She usually dates her age. And then she was like, you know...
I mean, I always figure that's because she's so tall that she aims for older men. So, you know, it's not an inferiority complex, you know?
Right. Oh, that's a good idea. But she doesn't... I don't know. She's a nice person, though. I mean, she can't hold a relationship... And she writes songs about these guys, so they're obviously breaking up with her, so she's obviously got a look at what's going on with her. Now, Tom is about the oldest person she's dated, okay? So, how he'll, you know, no, John Mayer, whatever his name is, Mayer?
John Mayer.
She dated him, and that turned out disastrous.
Now, I'm pretty sure I've dated her, too, at this point.
I guess she's with Loki now. It really made me upset. I was like, no.
He's ours.
He's ours. No.
Well, I'd actually heard that during the filming of the first Thor movie, Tom Hiddleston was dating Kat Dennings, who plays the comic relief friend in the movies.
Oh.
Didn't last, but.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
But ever since then, I've just wondered what a relationship like that could have been like.
Now, see,
Loki and Darcy.
Well, the sun is losing its spots. And here, yeah, And this is why it's a bad thing for all of us. I'm looking. It's not a very good picture. It's something we should. Our fireball has gone blank for the second time this month. It's approaching, and there will be increasingly number of spotless days over the next few years. This matters because the amount of sunspot reportedly affect our climate.
Did this have something to do with a solar flare?
I'm looking here. The sun goes through a natural solar process every approximately 11 years, which we're in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not giving much. It just had a cool headline to make us get worried. I'll read more up on that so we can talk about it. I'm going to go on the chat, see if anyone's in there. I know we have somebody online, but not ready to talk. I know it's not Rob who isn't coming tonight.
No, it's probably Harold.
That's right, Harold. Is it a 928 number?
Poor Harold. He keeps coming back, even though we keep
Harold.
Abusing
it
him.
It is Harold. We should have the show as if Harold's not paying attention, or he's not here. We could, like, talk about Harold. You know, Harold, when he moves to Pittsburgh, we should pull, like, a major practical joke on him. Don't know what. So, okay, I don't know. Did you notice that... Kyle has been posting. Remember we were talking for Kyle.
Yeah, can we talk about this on here or what?
No, that's not bad.
Okay.
He's been posting like really nice things to small groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering what's going on with him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That he's doing that.
I haven't heard anything from him in years.
It's nothing bad. I'm not saying anything negative about Carol. It's
I doubt he listens to this show. But
I doubt
still.
He does, too. Okay, so here's the rules of the chat, see, for anyone that's interested. No advertising, no unrestricted. Oh, this premium room. Sorry, my bad. Okay. Harold's in there. Fred is in there. I'm in there. Okay, guys, thank you. Welcome. I'm in the room with you. I don't know where Rob is. I think that Fred and Harold should continuously message Rob on Facebook until he joins the room. Because Rob isn't busy. Rob isn't sick. Rob just didn't want to leave home tonight. So,
Nothing from June.
You know who we did hear from? And I feel really bad that I didn't get back to her. That wonderful girl that joined us the 1 week. And I meant to get back to her, but I was in the middle of something when she texted us. And I can't remember what I was in the middle of doing. We have weenies wrapped in bacon tonight.
Nice.
Ultimate survival pit.
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
Couple hot dog slices.
All right, let me look at on the news again.
That is good.
Yeah, so obviously we have sunspots. Sorry, I'm chewing. Taylor Swift is dating. How do you pronounce his name?
Tom Hiddleston.
I just call him Loki.
Yeah, I'm kind of hard-pressed to think of somebody that she hasn't dated at this point as, you know, as cliched as it is to say that, I really can't.
The one that really screwed her up the most was Harry Styles. She wrote some...
Like, what happened with that one?
He broke up with her. Couldn't take her. And then she wrote the Never Ever Getting Back Together song with him. I mean,
I thought that one was about Jake Gyllenhaal.
Was it? She dated him, too?
Yeah.
I mean...
Allegedly lost her virginity to him, and then the whole Red album was supposedly about him.
Maybe it was. But you know what? It's like, she dated Calvin Harris, and all of a sudden she started changing about who she was, and I think maybe at that point he was like, dude, that's not why I started dating you. I mean, like, I liked you because you were you, and now you're wearing black lipstick and pointy tits like Madonna. I mean... Hey, Boo, could you shut the studio door, please?
Okay.
So that's in that news. All right. Al Franken is in the running for Hillary Clinton's vice president.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when he used to be on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
You probably don't remember that.
I recognize the name. I can't picture him.
He's a...
Now, like, what states do you think that would help her in?
None. The worst mistake that she could make is pick up
Elizabeth Warren.
Because, like, any on-the-fence Republicans will just go either not vote or I don't know. What's,
because she's a woman.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, Elizabeth Warren, I don't like her. She's a big mouth. Mm-hmm. She's like the female version of Donald Trump, only she could be PC. To me, as a – we'll ask Harold whenever we bring Harold on.
Now, has there been any word about candidates for Trump's VP?
You know, I think it's going to have to go to the convention floor on this one. Did you see that movement of 200 and some delegates that are not going to – they're going to vote with their conscience and not vote for Trump?
I had heard the party was seriously considering replacing him.
Well, there is a clause in the convention rules. This is the same with the this is why Bernie is staying in the race, okay? Mm-hmm. There is a convention clause that if a delegate who is obligated to vote for them because they won their district. If there's a breach of consciousness, maybe there's something about the candidate that the candidate has said, that the candidate has done, that makes them their conscience kicks in, that they can't with good conscience vote for them.
Mm-hmm.
They can vote for somebody else. So there's like 200 and some delegates for the Republican Party that are not going to vote for Trump because of their conscience. Okay.
Now, is that enough to affect anything?
If they do it, a lot of people will do it. That's what they're looking at.
Okay.
Now, if they don't, they may have to elect a vice president, which has happened years, decades before, where usually the nominee, you know, picks somebody. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to go to the floor. Because he can't even get people to speak at the convention because they don't want any part of him. And he's not going to get anybody really good as a running mate. And if he doesn't...
Because he'd be political poison to anyone.
He's
going to
be political poison to anybody.
You're going to go down with the ship and forever you'll have this taint.
Right. So what he's doing is everyone he's asking to be part of the convention is saying no. Okay. So... if the convention nominates somebody, they could accept it, okay, to be vice president without being connected to Donald Trump because they're a separate entity. So they can clear conscience. But the fact that he's invited people left and right to speak, to be there, that his main speaker now is his freaking daughter, okay? This is bad. This is bad. And the same rule could possibly be invoked at the Democrat convention. There are a lot of Bernie supporters. There are a lot of people that are questioning Hillary's emailgate, you know.
Has that come up again? I know we were talking about that.
Always coming up.
Well, I mean, like the indictment and all of that, because we were talking about, you know, October surprise and all of that.
I still think it'll come up in October,
okay.
Depending. All right, so one of the new things, five characters that should have been dead already on Walking Dead. Okay, who should have died. Not that you would know, but I'm going to go ahead and read it for those who do. Okay. Dwight. We just met him. Why do we care? Okay. As number one. Or number five. Number four. Carl, the son of Rick, should be dead. Huh. He's served his purpose. He doesn't do anything anymore, which is true. Okay, I'll agree with that one. He could have died. Carol. Yeah, she served her purpose, too. Get her out of there. She has no storyline. Dwight. See, I argue the Dwight one because Dwight is a brand new character. Maybe not in the comic books, but he just came into the show this year, so let's see.
Well, have any of these people died yet in the comics?
This one has. Spencer has died in the comics, and they're saying he should be killed. He will be. He's expendable, but not yet. He shouldn't have died already.
Now, the one before Carl's son, what was his name? Or was his name Carl?
Carl, yeah.
Okay. He hasn't died yet in the comics?
Yeah.
See, what I'm thinking is the reason why, even though he has no more purpose, why they're keeping him alive is that if they killed him, that might take the father in a direction that they're not ready for him to go in, character-wise.
That's true. The thing is, too, we have... they're predicting by the end of this season, beginning of next season, they'll be all caught up to the comic books.
Okay.
And, you know, so then it's Robert Kirkman is at the end of his, he's got to finish the comic book soon. Because, like, the storylines are being pretty bad now, you know? And I know he's keeping it alive for the fans. So, that's the political news.
It's a Walking Dead franchise.
It is. Let me see if there's anything else on this news here. We miss Rob. Too bad he's not here. We should text him and tell him to get his ass online. I hope that Harold and Fred are doing their best to get in touch with Rob. They're probably, why does Jackie keep poking in and out? So I'm in the chat room again. Hold on, let me say something to them.
Any new people?
No, just Harold and Fred.
Okay.
Hopefully they listened to me and went ahead and messaged Rob. It is quarter after. We're going to take a short commercial break. And when we return, we are going to talk apocalypse movies. And if you want to join us in conversation, just press 1 on your phone, and we'll see the little exclamation point on my end, and I'll bring you aboard. Don't go away.
You've done a lot of things and you want people to notice. Harrington understands. We've done a lot of things. We've traveled to pristine forests to clear cut the finest timber, shipped it halfway around the world in coal burning steamships to be manufactured by children in third world countries. It's shipped again around the globe to another third world country where we package our low quality toothpicks.
Hi, I'm famous basketball player Dwight Dingleberry. I don't normally endorse a product unless a company gives me a big check. Powerington Tinson did just that. By paying me, they were able to increase their cost, therefore increase their profit. Just $29.95 for a box of toothpicks may seem high, but the logo on the box sort of looks like a silhouette of me doing a basketball play, so it is well worth it. So go out and get yourself some boxes of my toothpicks, but also make fun of your friends who don't have my toothpicks, because remember, you ain't nothing unless you have a dingleberry hanging from your lip.
Get your dingleberry on.
We don't have any other sponsors, so that's the only commercial we have.
Dingleberry.
So if anybody wants to be sponsored, just let us know. I'm going to go ahead and let Harold on in a second. Wait. Harold, are you there? Hi, Harold.
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 Hello. Come on, get up and tell us. If you're sitting down, just tell us.
Harold, I'm teasing. I just put you on right now, Harold.
Okay.
Harold?
Yes?
What's wrong with you? Oh, don't even think about bringing your bad mood to our show.
I'm not in a bad mood. I'm in a good mood.
Okay. So this week's show, we're talking about end of the world movies. So I'm just going down list the movies, okay?
Okay.
And hopefully you've seen it. And we're going to talk about, did they portray the apocalypse realistically? Would the characters realistically have survived? So let's start with, because, you know, it's the elephant in the room, Independence Day.
The original,
okay? We all seen Independence Day. Harold, have you?
Yes, I've seen it.
Okay. Did you see the second one yet?
No, I haven't seen the second one yet.
Alien invasion. Go down the list. Is it a likely apocalypse scenario, Harold?
No.
Okay. Kate?
I would say no.
Boo. Will
Fred
Smith.
Said no, too.
Fred said no, too? If you were to nitpick, we'll give Harold a moment to think, okay? You listen, Boo, because you're going to be the first to answer, okay? Two things about the movie that you thought were completely unrealistic. What would you say they were?
Who were they again?
Unrealistic. We'll go. That means something that couldn't possibly happen. What are two things that happened in that movie that couldn't possibly happen in real life?
Aliens,
okay.
Cities were float into outer space.
Oh, okay. You're talking, okay. And
talking about the second
one where the city's floating into outer space. Okay.
Okay.
That's a good one. Yeah. Okay. All right. Caitlin.
Okay, we've all seen the movie. I can give
the first one, yes.
Okay, the first one, I would say hacking into an alien computer on your laptop.
Giving it a virus.
And first of all, I know Macs don't get viruses. Can they transfer one? Because that was what he had.
I don't know. I didn't even think of that. Okay. Is there another part?
Yeah, letting the President of the United States fly in a fighter jet.
Okay. Wouldn't happen?
No.
Harold, what do you say? It's a good one. That's a good one.
Okay, for one thing, the President flying in an aircraft. Nope. It never happened. Blowing up a ship the size of a small moon with one nuke. Not going to happen.
Okay.
And these amount of sound you heard when the ship exploded.
The amount of sound?
Because
right. You don't have no medium for sound to travel in space.
And I also thought there was no oxygen in space to cause a fire.
Well, there was oxygen in the ship.
Okay, all right. Okay, we got it now. All right. All right, next movie. World War Z. Did you see it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God, Caitlin.
You're shocked that I haven't seen a zombie movie.
That's a good one. It has Brad Pitt in it.
Well, how am I supposed to know it's good? I haven't seen it.
I have it on my Amazon. Okay, let me think of another one.
I saw that one Scout's Guide to Surviving the Apocalypse. I don't know.
Have you seen that one, Harold? Scout's Guide to Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. All right. Let me think.
It's so good.
Is there another zombie movie that you could have possibly seen?
I've seen Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead. Have you seen Shaun of the Dead?
No.
Because I think that's the most realistic zombie apocalypse movie. Because they contain it. You know what I mean? They contain it. Spoiler, they contain it at the end and are able to take control of it, which I think was a very realistic zombie apocalypse movie. What do you think, Boo? Shaun of the Dead, the funny one.
It could be very good for me if I watched it.
How about Armageddon, Meteor, Coming to Earth, Sent Up, Eight Men, Two... Eight? Wait, let's take this apart. There's a big Texas-sized meteor coming. Let's send up eight men that drill for oil, to this rock, and let them blow up the rock. Harold, feasible or not feasible?
Not feasible. They had two special shuttles. Military-grade shuttles. You may get away with one of them. You're not going to get away with...
Yeah, but they're like special-built shuttles that were tucked away in a special secret hiding spot in case the end of the world ever comes.
Well, no, they were military-grade shuttles.
Okay.
And they were designed out of special metals. And you can't hide that kind of money. Somebody would have thought.
$20,000 hammers?
Huh?
Well, apparently the president knows that the shuttles were being made. You got to save the world.
He may save the world, but then people are going to start asking, why were they built to begin with? Did they know ahead of time that this was coming?
Okay. Apparently, according to movie plot, there's like a 3-week window for them to build these shuttles, okay? 3-week window to build these shuttles, Harold. Boo.
Yeah.
In the first movie, the hero in the first movie really dead in real life?
No, he's alive in real life.
Talking about Will Smith and Independence Day?
Yeah.
His career is dead, but he's not dead. He made a mistake, Will Smith, by not being part of the movie.
Oh, so he's not supposed to, so he didn't want to be in the second movie?
No, he didn't want to be in the second movie.
Oh.
He thinks he's too cool to be in the second movie.
Oh, so he has a cold?
No, not a cold. He thinks he's too...
Just something about the word cool.
He thinks he's too awesome to be in that movie. He thinks he's better. He thinks he's too good for the movie.
But he's not in the movie. He's not the hero in the first movie. That guy who sacrificed himself is the hero.
You're right. Oh, my God, you're right. Right. Randy Quaid.
Yeah, he should be the hero.
Oh, my God, you're right.
And it could be like it turned out he didn't really die. They just abducted him again.
Again, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the ship blew up. But what my grandson is saying is if you've seen Independence Day 1, in Independence Day 2, this is not really a spoiler. They hail Will Smith as the hero of it all, okay? Not even Jeff Goldblum. When he's saying that the hero of it all is the guy that sacrificed himself. And
yeah, he,
that's
he's
right.
Supposed to be
he's right.
Who sacrificed
the guy that sacrificed himself as the hero.
They didn't even mention him, did they, Boo?
Yeah. He fought the guy, the dad, which is the hero, but people fought. He was the hero, but the guy who sacrificed himself is the hero.
You're right. You're right. They did not do him justice. You should do a YouTube video about
everyone
that.
Anyone didn't know who seen that movie did not know he was a hero. Not him.
Randy Quaid, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Randy Quaid.
I mean, they all should have,
the
they should have known because the whole Air Force was like talking to him on their.
Right. I mean, but it should have been brought up, and it wasn't brought up. No. And like maybe his picture should have been next to Will Smith on the wall.
I mean, to be a little Hollywood cynical here, I think it's because Randy Quaid isn't as photogenic.
Yeah, and also, but back then he was. Okay, he was a little bit more photogenic. You could have made him look handsome.
I'm sorry. I'm always going to picture Cousin Eddie with the deer stalker.
I don't really see
handsome from Randy Quaid.
No, I don't see handsome. His brother got all the looks. His brother got all the intelligence. His brother got the ability to dress. They're both got that ability to consume alcohol at an incredible rate. You know, both. I still think that Randy. All right. But now we're on this bull. This thing. Dennis Quaid was in the movie The Day After Tomorrow. Did you see it? Where the Ice Age? Okay. Did you see it, Harold?
Yes.
Okay. Good. All right. Day After Tomorrow with Randy Quaid. He's all drunk in the one scene when he's explaining the desolarization. He doesn't even say it naturally. Okay. So let's talk about this movie. Superstorms coming joined together. Which, by the way, we've seen superstorms joined together in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. Coming, joined together, causes massive ice thing where the eye of the storm is so incredibly cold that if it passes over you, everything freezes instantaneously. You're dead. Here is a concerned father in Washington, D.C., who is going to walk to New York City to save his son, who, by the way, is trapped in New York City. And who, by the way, you find out, with a bunch of other people survive at the end of the movie. Stand, you know, you can tell the survivors, how do they know that big freeze was coming is what I want to know, because they had a fight to be around. How realistic is this movie, Harold?
Well, the plot of the movie is good, but the end, where you start wondering where all these extra people coming from that survived, I don't think that's capable. You know, the son survived with the people he had because his dad told him what to expect.
Exactly.
But all these other people coming out of these skyscrapers wouldn't know that, that you had to have some type of heat. You know, they were burning books and stuff in a fireplace to stay warm. You know, I don't see too many fireplaces in those skyscrapers.
That was not a sky. Yeah, but what if they could have made their own ventilation system, okay, yeah, using the vents in the building. Now, Jake was the son's name, mm-hmm, was in a much bigger space than maybe these people were. If you think about it, like
he was in a
high rise.
Yeah, it was a big open room.
It was a big open room. Mm-hmm. if you get a room, let's say the size of like a bedroom, and or like some of these apartments in New York do have fireplaces, and you just like keep it warm, it would never freeze over because it was like the Wendy's. Okay, let's go to the Wendy's scene. When he goes into the Wendy's in the middle of that freeze, remember that?
Right.
Okay, well, he drops down his friend after his friend falls, after Frank falls through, the, I remember the name, the glass
right.
ceiling of the thing.
The,
okay.
The dad, you mean. Yeah, because that's what, okay, go on.
He falls through and dies. The one guy falls through
yeah,
and dies.
Yeah, I couldn't of. Remember if you meant
right.
the father or the son.
Okay, okay. So they, and he drive, is dragging Michael, whatever his name is, okay, on a sled because he hit his head or whatever,
mm-hmm.
throws him into the Wendy's, okay, just as the eye of the storm is flapping by, and he turns on the burners and is able to stay alive. So maybe that was a plot point. Like maybe they showed that the burners able to stay alive in a small space,
mm-hmm.
you know, was good. But Jake and them were in a huge ass marble room. You know, they never moved anywhere else. I'd be in a freaking closet.
I mean, they did kind of show it with the homeless guy who was showing them how to, you know, insulate with newspapers and stuff. So maybe they were doing, you know, a lot more than just the fireplace.
That's true. That's true. All right. And give me another thing that you think was not feasible about that movie. I thought, okay, everything, even their explanation about how the Ice Age was to come about was very plausible. The only problem that I have, okay, was him walking to New York City. Harold?
Well, he drove part way.
Did he? To Pittsburgh. He drove right. to Pittsburgh because, and it crashed.
No, Philadelphia. He was up there. I don't know. No,
Pittsburgh.
He was going the wrong way
Pittsburgh.
There.
He was not going the right way. From Washington, D.C., you would just take the 95 straight up to New York. What the hell? I always remember, why was he in Pittsburgh? Why did he go here off? Pittsburgh. I remember that. You know why I know that? Why do I know that, Harold? Harold, why do I know that?
Because you're from Pittsburgh.
Exactly. I paid attention.
Only Pittsburghers recognize Pittsburgh in movies.
Right. So we're like, okay, he crashed outside of Pittsburgh. Okay. So, but still, he cannot walk there. Future reference for all my apocalypse writing buddies, whoever.
Not in the snowstorm.
No. And he's going to survive with all this Arctic gear. Because he's uber cool. All right. I'm going to go online right now while Caitlin argues with you and tell you how long it takes to walk from Washington, D.C. to Pittsburgh to New York.
Hold on. Okay. While you're strapped down with your gear, of course.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So the other thing in that movie is in the Wendy's, he was using natural gas.
Okay.
And natural gas would have froze up.
Yeah.
Would it have? Even if you had it lit?
What?
Would the gas lines have froze up even if you lit it? Because the burners
right.
were closed.
Well, the gas line,
still,
the natural
you
gas
didn't light
would
the burners.
Have become a liquid. It would freeze. The valves and the line and stuff would have froze up.
Only if the line wasn't. Harold, only if the line wasn't being used. He didn't light a match and light those burners. They were already on. They were going. So
natural
it would have kept the line.
Still freezes at a certain temperature, even if you're using it. It will freeze
oh.
at some below zero.
No.
No, you know what? We got to test this in the
winter. Yeah. All right. I want to see proof of it.
We get cold winters in Pittsburgh. We want to try this out.
You're not going to get a cold enough winter in Pittsburgh. This is way below 60 below to get
okay.
it to freeze.
But, okay. All right, I'm looking this up.
It froze the fuel in the helicopters that were running with heat. The what was causing it to get so cold is in the eye of the superstorm, it was drawing air down from way high up in the stratosphere. Cold air.
Okay.
It was dropping down.
Yeah, I remember. FYI, it takes 78 hours if you don't stop. Non-stop. Not sleep for the night. 78 hours to walk at a normal walking pace from Pittsburgh to New York City.
Now, what's the time frame in the movie?
Like 2 days. I'm going to watch this all. I'm going to watch it again. Okay, now I'm looking up what temperature does natural gas freeze?
Okay, for me...
It's propane. Does propane freeze?
Say again? Propane is natural
you're
gas.
Doing. Harold, no, it was propane. Those stoves in the restaurant, just so you know, in a lot of restaurants, like I found this out from my brother when I was researching Contagious, okay, and Protocol 1, that a lot of those big grills are propane.
In cities, they're natural gas.
No, I'm going to argue with you on this one.
My father-in-law ran a bakery.
Is that considered
No, I'm not saying that Wendy's falls under this category. I'm saying that the Doubletree, the Rivers Casino, these places all have their burger grills that he used, okay, the grill that he used in the movie, are all propane. For the simple fact that they don't run natural gas in case there's a power outage, you know, or the gas lines are done, that it is an individual thing to be able to still cook on these stoves. So the big grills that they use to fry burgers and steaks are all propane.
Now, what was,
natural gas will flow without power.
Since the guy Since the guy drove, you said he drove part way to New York. What, I can't remember. What was the reason for why they gave up on the car?
They crashed.
Okay.
They crashed.
Because I'm thinking that must have been some antifreeze they put in there to get that far.
The temperature wasn't that cold.
Mm-hmm.
It was tolerable. It was not Arctic temperatures yet, okay?
Okay.
It only... In the movie, it only got that cold once the eye of the storm and the stratosphere, the cold air came down.
Natural gas freezes at minus 296.7 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, it never hit that in the movie.
When
I'm gonna watch
the eye of the storm, it did.
No, it didn't. It did. Because you know what? The guy that was the old guy over in England said that it gave
right.
the temperature. I'll watch the movie, but that would be if it was it's not going to be. Okay, just listen to what I'm going to say to you. Underground, it's not going to be that cold. The air is that cold. The air and the wind that come down from the stratosphere in that movie is that cold. But underground, you're not getting hit by that air and that wind. Okay, so as long as you stay, you know, warm, the residual effects of that storm won't hit you quite as bad. Apparently, it didn't drop to 200 degrees, minus 200 degrees Fahrenheit, and become that cold where Jake and them were at, or they'd be dead. They had to be able to maintain a sense of warmth in that room. And so I'm saying the same thing about the Wendy's. I can't believe we're sitting here fighting about this scene in the movie, but this is a good conversation about this. I mean... The air from the stratosphere was minus, you know, whatever. I'm going to watch this movie and find out. But below, because you're encompassed, you're not getting hit by that wind. And with the fire going, I don't foresee it freezing. I just don't. And cars would because they're outside exposed to it. The engines are outside exposed to it. Airplanes would because they're outside exposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Under buried in snow, which has the igloo effect. Okay, of insulation, snow is actually insulation with burners already burning, okay, and keeping his place warm because it was already warm, that I think that the gas lines won't freeze. I'm still going to say they use propane because I did a lot of research to see which buildings in the city of Pittsburgh use propane in their kitchens on their grills, and that, because my brother told me about that. Because I remember saying, you know, how long would you be able to cook? He said, we'd be able to cook a while. He said, because we use propane tanks on our grills. So that was, you know, my brother's a GM at a hotel, so that's how I got all my supplies and know what supplies a hotel would have. So
right,
I'm going to say it's propane.
If they're using propane, that means they have a propane tank for a business. It's a large tank outside.
No. No. Harold, do you leave the fucking woods at all? I mean...
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever gone by a hotel and seen a large propane tank outside? Have you?
Yes.
I don't see a propane tank outside the rivers or the...
That's why they use natural gas. A lot of people mistake calling what businesses use propane when it's actually natural gas. All propane is natural gas put in a tank.
Right. Well, they would use smaller propane tanks, which I think would be more insulated at a Wendy's than natural gas.
What's the next movie on the list?
Oh, I'm still fighting about this one. That motherfucker, Harold.
Dan wrote, the gas utilities use their own natural gas to fuel their own generators to maintain needed pressure. That's from Dan the chat room.
Okay.
And Fred wrote, airplane fuel freezes at a minus 100.
Right, they mentioned that in the movie. And they also said in the movie that it would be cold enough to freeze. Okay, all right, here's where you're wrong. It's part of the natural gas family. It is not natural gas in a can. It is a raw state. It is not refined. That's what propane is. Propane is not refined. It is not. And it is part of the same gas family, but it is not natural gas. I'm on this people's propane versus people's gas type thing. So it is in a raw state. It's sort of like saying crude oil versus gasoline that goes in your car.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. So propane is the crude oil, and natural gas is what goes in your car. Let's move on to another movie since we've been stuck on this freaking movie for Lord knows how long.
Yeah, we've got about 18 minutes left.
All right. Trying to think of a good survival. The Road. Have you seen The Road, Harold?
Yes.
You haven't seen The Road.
I've seen The Road.
Okay. Caitlin, what apocalypse movies have you seen? Planet of the Apes?
Yeah. I've seen all of them, so yeah.
How about Sudden Impact?
No, I haven't seen that one.
It's another one of the meteor hitting the Earth.
Yeah, she didn't see it. Oh, you're thinking Deep Impact. You didn't see Deep Impact either?
Oh, Sudden Impact. Sudden Impact.
All right, how about...
You seriously don't want to talk about Planet of the Apes?
Let's talk about Planet of the Apes, yes.
Okay.
All right, Planet of the Apes. Let's go with the new version simply because it really does show what happened. And it shows and I know, Harold, you have seen Planet of the Apes. Harold.
I've seen them all.
In the original Planet of the Apes with Charlton Heston, okay? For those of you who may or may not have seen this movie, he goes 2,000 years in the future, 3,000 years in the future, and encompasses a world of apes. We learn when the Doomsday Bomb goes off in movie 2, and the apes escape and go back. See, the thing is, originally, in the timeline, dogs and cats were killed by a virus, okay, and people took on apes as pets, and then they learned to domesticate them. And then the apes, in the original version, there was like viruses that broke out and then nuclear war, and that's when the apes eventually evolved. They actually evolved 1,000 years into talking creatures in the original timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But because, you know, Cornelius came back with his pregnant wife, they just reset that timeline and started it like thousands of years earlier. So you can see why the original, the remake actually does follow the timeline of the Charlton Heston thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the talking baby, the virus. We're talking about Planet of the Apes, though. Okay. What is not realistic to you about that movie, Harold?
What are we talking about, the original one or the remake?
The whole concept of Planet of the Apes, the whole concept of it.
I actually think it's feasible.
Okay.
Apes are intelligent.
And the second movie, did you see the second movie? Because I know Caitlin did. We saw it together.
Yep.
The second movie,
yeah.
I thought they did a great job.
Meaning Dawn of the Planet of the Apes,
yeah.
With Andy Serkis.
With, yeah. 20 years later, they did a fantastic job with, you know, I thought they did. Not that, you know, I have any hidden plans to know what's good, like any apocalypse. But I found it very believable, the way people were, the way they were surviving. They were fed. They weren't all crazy lunatics, you know. They did a really nice job. Harold, what do you think?
I think it was good. It's realistic. You know, the eggs were protecting themselves. You know,
Boo, you like that.
Throwing things up.
Right. No, you like that movie, Planet of the Apes, right?
Yeah, but it looks epic.
It's epic, yeah. Is there anything about it that you think, this could not happen?
First, there's no thousand of apes.
Okay.
And there's no way there can be 1,000 people versus 1,000 apes.
You know, here's the thing.
That could no way happen.
Okay. You don't think that the apes nowadays can get intelligent and start speaking?
No, they can never do that.
Why?
Because they're animals, and animals talk to each other because using their
sound. What would happen if, like, the ape, like, talked an ape talk to another ape and said, ooh, 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 translate, hey, let's attack this human being?
How do you talk?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's still a language they understand. But.
So do you think that they aren't smart enough to plan an attack?
Yeah, they can't use weapons because they don't know how to use weapons.
Okay.
They could stab another if they have found a weapon.
We're going to watch some videos on YouTube about apes acting human, just so you know. Okay. Caitlin, what are your...
Okay, well, I guess two things. Regarding the original series, the way the evolutionary process supposedly works, it wouldn't happen that quickly.
Right.
It's just like a few thousand years, right, that initially...
Initially, it's like it takes 3,000 years for the apes to take over, okay? 3,000 years. But
I mean, it should take, realistically, it would take more like millions of years.
They didn't evolve in the first one, though. They the same scenario took place.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Okay, let's say it happens in the year 2100 because that's a nice even number. Okay, 2100, all the cats and the dogs in the world die.
Yeah.
2130, they start bringing in chimpanzees from Africa and training them. 2150, they go into general population as pets. 2200. There are a lot of pets that they become servants. This is the original timeline, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that goes on for decades. Virus happens. So after mankind wipes himself out with a thing, all that's left are these apes. And they've already been watching humans for so long. Okay, would they speak? No. Okay, but for Hollywood purposes, yeah, they do. Okay, but they're saying that in that 2,000 years after man's destruction, 2,500 years after man destroyed himself, and a man destroyed himself after he brought all the apes and trained them.
Mm-hmm.
Man had trained apes. So they had 25 years with all that human training to evolve. Do you still think that's not possible?
No, I don't think it's possible.
Okay.
I mean, parrots can learn how to talk from years of being around people, but they still don't know what they're saying.
Right. Vu? So you're on the same level that they could be taught, but they're not. They don't know. Okay.
In the new Planet of the Apes, when the humans versus the apes war, I see some like people with white hair. How are they gonna fight? I saw them in the war.
Are you saying old people like Harold can't fight?
No.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah, we can't walk.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
There's a lot of there.
Okay.
They can fight if you put them inside a tank like Gary Oldman.
Yeah. I think I saw that.
At least in the newer version of Planet of the Apes, they explained how the intelligence got to the apes. You know, the old-timers thing. They explained that. So, okay. I was getting a little slightly confused on why you wouldn't believe us, but now I do see why you believe us. Because that
it was unnatural.
It was unnatural, right. Yeah. So I totally 100% agree. Now, did you guys hear, sort of on a subject, off subject, that the Zika virus, you know, I was like, say, it, you heard it here first on the Apocalypse Nana show, that I was claiming that if we do not get the Zika virus under control, in another couple hundred years, this will begin the de-evolution process of the human race, leaving only 10% of those born with intelligence, taking us back to the Dark Ages. Scientists have just announced that right now, with the Zika virus affecting 4% of the population, they already set back evolution thousands of years. So we've already went back in our evolution process that we are not going to – where we would be 2,000 years from now evolved, we won't be now because of the Zika virus. It set us back. So you heard it here first. So if at 4% it set us back 2,000 years, imagine if this thing becomes just a regular thing, that now all babies being born will be Zika virus babies. So those born right now might be 70, 80 years old will be the intelligent elders in this community of nothing but Zika virus people. I think I need to write that. Nobody will read it, though.
Well, I'm wondering, and I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way, but these people who are being born with the Zika virus and have cognitive problems, how well would they be able to function in terms of the reproduction aspect?
They can. It's like those mentally handicapped.
Would they have the wherewithal to do it, though?
It's a natural instinct. Procreation is natural. You see a lot of mentally challenged adults that have the mentality of like a 6-7-year-old, all right? And they reproduce, and this is what a problem is. But like a lot of communities, like, oh, no, you should sterilize them. Well, they're human beings. You can't just do that, okay? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they would have the ability to reproduce. It just would be a natural effect when their body matured enough to do so, if their body matured, and it would. Harold, what do you think? What are your thoughts on this?
I think you're on the right track there.
Instead of destroying the earth? I mean, this is where the religious side.
I think the possibility of a virus, something like that's going to screw up things more than a war.
Yeah, I mean, let's just stop for a second and think. And right now I'm claiming copyright on this idea to any apocalypse people. I know, I don't worry about you, Caitlin. You don't write apocalypse, I guess. Let's say the Zika virus starts affecting babies being born. And what about if these Zika, however you want to pronounce it, infected people are the only ones that don't catch a massive virus that wipes out humanity? Only those that are Zika babies. Like, they can look like Zika babies. 10% of all Zika babies, however you pronounce it, I don't know the correct pronunciation, are normal intelligence, if not highly intelligent. Okay, so that's one scenario. The religious aspect is if God says, you know, I promised I would not flood this earth again. I promised I would not destroy this earth again. I didn't say anything about just restarting the human race again or taking you guys back a notch so you don't kill it. We are killing ourselves with technology, with weapons, with guns. What time is it?
9:54.
It is 9:54. It's time for the Flash Fang Game.
Now what we're going to talk about.
You have to say, I love.
I love the Flash Fang Game.
Okay, so Boo is going to give us two people in the apocalypse scenario.
Because this is, we're going to talk about my movie we're going to make, but nobody knows about it.
So don't talk about it on the air. Just talk about the two killers in the movie. Because if you talk about it on the air, somebody can take your idea and make the movie, and then you'll be like, aw.
No, nobody knows. Because Harold is not going to take me because he
Harold doesn't know. Yeah. You, I bet you want. You want to go visit Harold?
I'm waiting to see his movie.
Hey, he lives in Phoenix. You want to go to Phoenix to visit him in Phoenix, or you want to wait till he moves to West Virginia?
Before you said that word. Yeah.
You want to go visit him in Phoenix?
Yeah.
It's like the desert out there.
Okay.
I'm not in Phoenix.
Well, he's supposed to.
But you're in Washington State.
Okay. I'm Lake Havasu, Arizona.
Oh, okay, you know what? This makes total freaking sense to me, Harold, why you're a Donald Trump supporter. You know, okay, because you're right there by the wall. Or the wall is going to be.
No,
right,
I'm
Boo,
there
tell
on the wall.
Flash, tell Harold, flashbang game, Boo, give us your examples. Who versus who?
Jeff the Killer
versus Slenderman. Real quickly, tell Harold who Jeff the Killer is. How did he become Jeff the Killer?
He was a kid. He had a little brother. Two people were trying to kill those two. And then he killed those guys who were trying to kill Jeff. But he left them on the road with broken hands and legs and feet. And then he felt something. When he went to the bathroom, he turned white and his hair turned black.
Okay, so Jeff the Killer is young.
Smile. When he kills people, he puts a smile.
Hey,
he
cut off his eyelids.
And then he can't sleep.
Jeff the Killer, look him up, Harold, versus Slenderman. Everybody knows who Slenderman is. Who do you think, Caitlin, Jeff the Killer or Slenderman? What kind of apocalypse is a baby?
It is a war.
A war.
Okay, so it's who would we rather be with?
Yeah, who would you rather be with, Slenderman or Jeff the Killer? Who do you think would protect
Jeff the Killer, because I like Jeff.
Okay, you're saying Jeff the Killer. Okay, Caitlin?
I would say Jeff the Killer because he's human, and, you know, if this whole thing started with him trying to protect his brother, I think he has a sense of
humanity. There's like a video of Jeff the Killer versus Slenderman, but when he dies by fire, he comes back when somebody... You know, a girl killed Jeff the Killer and Slenderman on fire, and then Jeff the Killer came back. And then he had revenge on her.
Dude, we got to ask Harold who he would pick. Jeff the Killer or Slenderman, Harold?
Jeff the Killer.
Jeff the Killer.
Described you.
Yeah, Jeff the Killer, like Caitlin said. I would have to say Jeff the Killer for the same fact that what Caitlin said. He's human. He was protecting his brother, so if a bad guy comes along...
Actually, he killed his brother.
Oh, he killed his brother.
Yeah, when he turned killer, he killed his family.
We're
going to
make him... I want to make a movie, because...
but we're girls. We can fix that.
Yeah, that's true. We're going to make a movie about Jeff the Killer, aren't we, Boo?
Yeah, but this is Jeff the
Killer's
We're
going to make a mockumentary of it, of it. And we're going to get a million YouTube hits, aren't we, baby?
Yeah, I'm going to say who killer, and you have to guess which side is on.
Baby, it's the end of the show. Do you want to do something real fast?
Okay.
Real fast.
Do you think Jason's on? Jeff's killers or Slenderman?
Oh, he's on Jeff the Killer's side.
How do you say that?
Because he's human and Slenderman's not.
If he gets shot, he never dies. Like Wolverine.
Jason does die. It's just the new Jason. Dot just told us we have to go. So anyhow, I want to thank everyone for being here. Harold, thank you for calling in. We can't wait till you come to Pittsburgh.
I had a great time.
Boo, say thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and Caitlin, on behalf of the Apocalypse on the show, we miss Rob, but we went ahead and had the show without him. Want to thank everyone. Have a happy Independence Day, 4th of July. Independence Day, we need to go to that movie. Caitlin, thank you for coming by.
We will not go quietly.
The end of the night. We will not fall over without a fight.
Can I have some pizza, please?
All right. On behalf of the Apocalypse Now Show, have a happy and safe good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.